This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I think Ozzie, you know, the maturity, he feels like a veteran. He's able to correct his mistakes. He's very coachable. I know that Dan and Kyle, you know, really like him, but we like a lot of those guys at that spot, and they're going to continue to battle. There's a lot of football left to be played at that position and in that battle, but that was kind of just what the plan was for today, keep rotating them through, and we're still evaluating that spot.
Hey, get used to that voice. That's Declan Doyle, the offensive coordinator. Whether or not Robbie Triano wants to admit it, this is Rahimi and Harris.
It's Ben Johnson's intern, yeah. He's just getting the coffee, you know.
We're not doing this.
I appreciated his press conference, okay? I actually liked a lot of what he had to say, and not necessarily because I needed to feel better, but just because I felt like he did have a grasp of the role.
Means well.
You know, Sean McVay got hired at basically 12, right, to run the Rams. He was 33, I think, when he got hired.
He does have two Super Bowl appearances, including a Super Bowl win, correct? Sean McVay?
Yes. So the point is, you know, sometimes talent is younger than we want to admit it. Robbie.
I would think Robbie would cheer for the young guy because Robbie's young, right?
That was my point.
We may be witnessing Robbie's first old man moment.
Oh, my God.
He's about to see if he is
I'm older than Declan Doyle.
Game week.
You're old, Robbie.
Robbie's that older sucks. Than somebody with an important job.
Robbie, if you need
this
a cloud.
This is how it begins.
There's several clouds outside you could yell at right now if you need one.
Next thing you know, your favorite players are retiring.
I will say,
the Bulls are doing the right thing, and Bulls.
You told me
to
yell at the
that.
Cloud. I yelled at the cloud.
You did.
I don't like talking to offensive coordinators who are not play callers. I will say that. Like like from the 2018 when Nagy, well, that was the first year I came in. They rolled out Mark Helfrich. Nobody knew what Mark Helfrich did. I feel like we do have a better idea with Declan Doyle just because like they've kind of stated some of the things that he's going to be doing in terms of help. But he truly is an assistant to Ben Johnson.
He's an assistant to the regional manager.
Basically, yeah, that's a pretty good way to put it.
If he were as successful as Dwight Schrute, I would be good with it. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody talking about, yes, Bears game week, and then also what you two observed both at FanFest yesterday at Soldier Field and what Marshall got to see at Hallis Hall on Saturday. And I know we talked about the struggles when it came to three delay of game penalties, which that's not ideal by any means, but just the clunkiness that has been the installation of what we can expect to see with this offense.
There was definitely a lot of clunkiness, a lot of sloppiness yesterday. I kind of outlined some of that. The good things that I saw yesterday, not necessarily in any particular order. I did look, and I know that this is not what I want to see Caleb Williams doing a lot, and we know that from Justin Fields that it's not sustainable. However, Caleb Williams looked good scrambling yesterday. He was elusive still. The speed is good, all of that stuff. So that's almost like just basic 101 stuff, but I just thought that was important to point out. I saw a nice quick slant 7 yards to Colson Loveland in the 2-minute drill. There was a nice little bootleg right to the sideline hitting DJ Moore in stride at one point in time, which would have been a big gain. I love that play to DJ Moore. There was also a play action screen to Cole Kmet, wide open and scored. One of the best plays that the Bears have run so far in training camp. And he also had a nice little toss to DeAndre Swift at one point in time, just kind of lofting it over his head, putting it right on time. DeAndre Swift catches it, runs another 10 yards or so. So there were some good things to say. It almost felt like a lot of Caleb Williams' games last year, like maybe even the Washington game, where you would see him struggle early, and even in the third quarter, fourth quarter would come, and he would do some really good stuff. That's sort of the way things felt at Soldier Field yesterday.
I'm so glad that you brought that specific point up, because I've been to two practices now, each of the last two sessions. Saturdays. And the one thing that I can say thematically that has been consistent is he looks way better at the end than he does at the beginning in terms of running, whether it's 7-on-7, whether it's 11-on-11. You get him in a 2-minute drill, though, and you see everything that you saw last year when Caleb Williams was giving the Bears a chance in some of these games, even in the 10-game losing streak. And I think what's interesting about that is the Caleb magic is there. It is present. It exists. The issue is right now we're trying to get the Caleb fundamentals to be up to Ben Johnson's snuff and up to that level where Ben Johnson needs him to be able to just run regular plays in the first and second quarter of games in an effort to keep your offense on the field and move the chains. And I'm not sure I've seen evidence based on what I've seen, but you're kind of corroborating what I've seen in that he's doing a highly efficient job. He's not doing a bad job per se, but just a highly efficient job the way you see it when the other quarterbacks are on the field, namely running with the twos and threes, when you're talking about Case Keenum, Tyson Bagent. It just seems like he's not quite as on point early in practice.
As my podcast partner Dan Weeder says on Take the North, the sizzle is not there right now with Caleb Williams.
There's a couple things for me. Is number one, the thing I liked about the misdirection at Soldier Field that we saw, just motion misdirection. So much of that is just inherent in play design where you can put some lipstick on a pig. That's it. That's the beauty of pre-snap motion if it's done right. That's the beauty of play action even when you don't necessarily run the ball a lot. Misdirection, if you do it right, which a lot of teams do, will hide a lot. You know, that's the whole point is you're trying to utilize your talent in a creative way or make up for maybe what you can't block. And I love that play for that reason. It's a solution. But I think what a lot of the issue is here, too, is there are some echoes from training camp last year where the 2-minute drill was also an issue in practice at training camp last year. You know, how much does that concern you when it comes to the repeat of what you're seeing, Mark, when you start with that part of it? Because for me, that's big when that's a completely different offense and it is the same problem.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Now, it was pretty good at the end of practice yesterday what they were doing in 2-minute. But, yeah, that's an overall view, too, Layla, of what I've been a little surprised by in this camp, and taking into mind it's a new coach and all the caveats and all the disclaimers, that there wasn't a sort of progression from last year's training camp to this year's training camp in terms of the things that Caleb Williams was doing well, including or even trying to make better, including the 2-minute drill. But I do think that a lot of that is because of the new offense and everything that you sort of had to start over, but I would like to have seen him hit the ground running a little bit faster.
I think one of the things that I've wrestled with is the reports about the elusive ability of him to escape pressure, right, in these practices. Because what I saw Saturday was a guy that, in my estimation, would have been sacked on some plays, right? But if you're like, oh, he kept the play alive, it's like, well, he also isn't allowed to be touched. And I think even if he completes a pass on a play where I deem he would have been sacked, I can't give him credit for that because he would have been sacked. He's not getting the ball out on time consistently enough for my liking anyway. And that's something that's been consistent in both the practices that I went to. You tell me, when you talked about him being elusive, was he in serious danger or was it a guy was in 5 yards of him and he was able to stay, you know, 2-3 yards away from someone?
Yeah, I think in this case, that's a good question. I think he was in serious danger, and this particular run actually was kind of up the middle. Like he faked a couple guys out and it looked like, now, like you said,
but that,
like, Like, we sit there as reporters on the sideline, and we're like, we kind of check with each other. Would that have been a sack? That looked like it would have been a sack. It looked like Caleb Williams would have been down. It looked like Jervon Dexter may have gotten a paw on his leg, and he may not have made that run.
And that's my concern, Layla, is because I'm looking at it, and I'm reading the tweets from what I just watched, and people are like, oh, that elusive. And then even the post-practice questions about, oh, what did you like about how he eluded? I was like, did he elude? Because I'm pretty sure he was a dead man in the backfield.
Right.
On a couple of those plays. And I think that's why the getting out of time back to the fundamentals is the important part for me right now.
Well, it's also what you're going to see in joint practices. Joint practices are going to tell you a lot of truths. And that's something that Ben Johnson echoed earlier in his availability yesterday. Our training camp coverage here on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. This is Raheem Ian Harris on 670 The Score. I also want to point out the position group that we feel like is the most improved. Dave Wannstedt talked to David Haugh about it this morning on David Haugh's solo show.
If you said to me what was probably the most impressive thing of the practice, it would have been the offensive line talent, experience, and how they're being coached. I mean, I would put all those things together. They went full speed, live, inside run, as I call it. Big guys against big guys. And I tell you what, the offensive line was moving the defense. There was movement. Now, I'm not talking about blowing them back 5 yards off the ball, but, I mean, there wasn't penetration. There was nut guys from the defense in the backfield. This offensive line, it was the most exciting thing probably that I walked away from practice saying, wow, there's an improved position.
So I was going to say, yeah, David was on with – Dave Wannstedt. And I appreciate what Wani had to say about the most improved position group. It absolutely should be when that's where you spent the majority of the money in the offseason. Thank God that's the case.
Well, that ended the draft capital, right? You look at what's happened up front, and I agree with Dave Wannstedt, but looking at the other position groups, I was like, how much room for improvement really was there compared to the room for improvement at the offensive line position? It's a complete makeover up front. And also, I like the idea that they have some real depth. Some guys that you're talking about vying for starting job, even the guy who doesn't get to be the starter at left tackle, whether it's Karen Amagaji, Braxton Jones, or Ozzie Tripillo, that's two more guys now you could do stuff with.
Yeah, if Braxton Jones is your swing tackle, like you're in pretty good shape. I mean, that would be ideal. The ideal situation, obviously, is Ozzie Tripillo being your starting left tackle. And by the way, he did start there yesterday in the Soldier Field practice. We did see Braxton Jones with the ones as well for a while. So it does feel like this competition is really on between these two.
And it's kind of changed because Karen Amagaji has now missed the last 2 days with injury. So that throws a little bit of a wrinkle in that. You look at your face like, yeah, people already hurt, yes.
Right. So when I hear that, I think about what happened previously. But it's not just that for me. It's the fact that you have to have some of your drafted talent when you're in this year of being in the front office. You have to have some of this drafted talent over the last 3 seasons be cornerstones for your team, because financially you can't keep doing that. But that's not what's important right now. But that is something that I think about. You can't keep signing guys to these expensive deals. That's how you get over the cap, and that's how you back yourselves into corners. Right now it's okay because you have so much of your talent who's on rookie contracts. But when I hear that about Karen Amagaji, it's like, how many years are we just writing off of these draft picks?
Yeah, he's a third-round pick. That's a third-round pick.
How many times are we going to do this?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that absolutely. I mean, there's an expectation.
Is it a problem for right now? No.
That's why they're giving him a shot to, air quotes, to compete for the start. We all know Karen Amagaji is not going to be the starting left tackle for the Chicago Bears. He is not going to win that competition, but they have to. They got to work him out like he is because he's a third-round pick. But last year, from this GM who just got an extension.
And you have to also devote some of that draft capital to other positions. You know, you can't keep always devoting it to the same ones.
Yeah.
And that's an issue for me, too. Then again, I'm talking about a guy who drafted two punters.
The interior of the offensive line, though, I can't like express that enough. It's so nice to have a guy, especially the center, with the issues the Bears have had at that position on Ryan Poles' watch. You know, it has not been good with the guys that he has signed and that he's brought in to play that position. And then you've got Joe Tooney and then Jonah Jackson, I know, who's been banged up. God, it's nice that that interior is set relative to what we see.
Number one, fix the problem, which is the stage they're in. You know, contracts coming up, that's a later issue.
The Amagaji thing, unfortunately, I don't want to say this, but this is how I feel. It just reminds me of the Velus Jones Jr. thing. Oh. Where you're trying to make your guy
what
stick.
What about the Pretty Zach Pickens thing?
Oh, yeah. That too?
Yeah, because so Dio Odengbo didn't come here cheap.
I'm still waiting for Dio to do his thing, but joint practice coming up this week.
That's funny you mentioned
Dio,
him.
Go off.
Saw him on the sidelines. Yep.
Yeah, all of these things are valid to me. You know, I care about the entire roster. But number one, fix the problem.
Fix
if
the
you
problem.
Don't fix the problem, you can't get to the other issues
right.
you have to take care of. We have more to come with Raheem and Harrison. Mark Grody still in on 670 The Score. And more Bears talk later in our show. But there was a huge series at Wrigley over the weekend. We want to get to the Sox as well. That will be at 11 and 5 on it. 5 on it is at 11 because Justin Turner joins us at noon. So let's talk about the Cubs and Orioles series because some people who were traded for showed up this weekend. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.